Well, it wasn't the stars who shined in Edmonton. It was the role players who helped the Edmonton Oilers pass the Dallas Stars at Rogers Place. But just how important are those depth players? We will talk about that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, a massive 4-1 win for the Oilers against the Dallas Stars at Rogers Place. But it wasn't the Stars for the Oilers who led the way. It was the role players, and more specifically, former Dallas Star Matthias Janmark. We will review that game in just a second. But also on today's episode, it's the depth who's really been leading the way for the Edmonton Oilers recently. So we're going to go through some of the numbers for the bottom six recently since the start of the month to show you just how important this team has been. That'll be coming up in just a second. And as always, after every Edmonton Oilers game, we go through the good, the bad, and the ugly to wrap up today's episode. All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. A massive 4-1 win, as mentioned, for the Oilers at Rogers Place on Thursday night. And yes, I mentioned it wasn't McDavid who, yes, he did also score, I don't know, 57 goals. Is that good? His 57th goal this season, and also got credited with his 131st point, which is absolutely disgusting. But he gets credited with that as well. But it was the depth for the Edmonton Oilers, as Warren Fogle got the scoring started for the Edmonton Oilers. That's his fourth point in the last five games. Then it was Matthias Janmark who just absolutely turned it on. And if you ask Matthias Janmark, he said, yeah, no, I had an all right game. Yeah, okay. He said he felt like he had an all right game, as Daniel Nugent Bowman said on Twitter. Yeah, pretty good for an all-right game. But two goals against the Dallas Stars, his former team. That brings his total up this season to 4 against the Dallas Stars, 6 against his former teams, and plural teams, and 8 overall this year. That means 6 of his 8 goals so far this year with the Edmonton Oilers have been scored against his former teams, the Dallas Stars, the Chicago Blackhawks, and the Vegas Golden Knights. A little bit of a revenge tour. And in two of those games against the Dallas Stars, both of them getting, in two of them, I should say, excuse me, he gets two goals there. Evan Bouchard also having a fantastic night, or had a fantastic night for the Edmonton Oilers. 2 assists on this game, or on the night for Bouchard, bringing his total over the last 8 games to 8. Why are the last 8 games important? Well, 8 games ago was Matthias Ekholm's debut as an Edmonton Oiler, and his influence on Evan Bouchard has been heavily apparent. There was this nice little shot with about a minute left in the game of Matthias Janmark, or Matthias Ekholm. The amount of times I do Janmark and Ekholm is unbelievable. But a great shot of Ekholm, CeCe, and Evan Bouchard on the bench. And the communication and the talking between not only Bouchard and Ekholm, but then as soon as he finished his conversation with Bouchard, he tapped CeCe on the arm and said, great game, you know? And it's little things like that, but Ekholm as well. Brendan Escott on Twitter tweeted out from 630 Ched. He tweeted out that after the second period, after that little, we'll talk about Robertson's hit as well, but Matthias Ekholm came over to Robertson, started drawing a little bit with the Dallas Stars. That's a great influence for the Edmonton Oilers in seeing, hey, this guy who's brand new on the team is protecting your star player. And yeah, he wasn't, I don't believe he was on the ice when that happened either. So for him to go out of his way to really make a point of saying, hey, you want to do that to our star player, then you're going to have to go through the Nordic beard himself. You love to see that. Stuart Skinner also had a very underrated game. I would say an underrated game because the Edmonton Oilers played very well in front of him. He only had to make, well, 25 saves is pretty good, but 25 saves on 26 shots fired towards him. It was a quiet-ish night, especially considering the Oilers kept the Stars to 5 shots in the first period, but it was a good game. He was able to be calm, cool, collected in the net there. He never really panicked. It was really nice to see. From an Oilers goaltender, you don't really, especially the last couple of years, the Oilers had Koskinen, and he was supposed to be this big, bearing goaltender, and still he was a little chaotic, and chaotic is hardly a word to use. Well, it is a word to use for Mike Smith, but I don't think that even contaminates what, or it's late in the night, I don't know words, but it's just, there are so many crazy goalies that have played for the Edmonton Oilers over the last couple of years, and being able to see a stoic type goaltender in Stuart Skinner is comforting, especially for the Edmonton Oilers defensemen and the players in front of them. The Edmonton Oilers do improve to 38-23-8 on the year. They, as of recording this, have extended their lead over the Seattle Kraken for third in the Pacific Division by 3. However, again, as of recording this, the Kraken are still playing. I'll try and give an update if they do finish. They should finish during this episode. I'll try and give an update there. But as of right now, the Oilers 3 points ahead of the Kraken for third place in the Pacific Division. Speaking of the Kraken, the Edmonton Oilers head to Seattle on Saturday for a 2 p.m. matinee puck drop on the Pacific West Coast. That is going to be a big game for both teams in that one. Again, 2 p.m. matinee at the Climate Pledge Arena. I always like that name. It's not one of those corporate names, as I say, Rogers plays, but 4-1 win for the Edmonton Oilers over the Dallas Stars, and you can thank your stars above for Matthias Janmark and the bottom six, as the bottom six has really been winning games for the Edmonton Oilers over the last, well, couple of games, but just how important have they been? We dive deeper into the numbers over the last couple of games for the bottom six to really show their impact on this roster. We will talk about that in just a second, but first, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores to threes drain, baby. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss out on your chance at your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Alrighty, let's move on to the bottom six of the Edmonton Oilers rosters. That has been a massive, massive, massive hole for the Edmonton Oilers over the last 15 years, seemingly, for the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, they were bringing in guys like Timu Hartikainen. I mean, Timu Hartikainen at times played top 6 minutes, so I don't know what I'm saying there. But Timu Hartikainen, you can go down the list of just guys the Oilers brought in, and you sat there going, why? why Gaetan Haas, a guy who is a leading point getter in Switzerland, you go, oh, okay, yeah, you know that thing that you did in Switzerland? Yeah, don't worry about that. Just go out there and play grind 'em up hockey against the best players in the world. Joachim Nygaard. I was on the right track there. Joachim Nygaard. Remember Joachim Nygaard? I liked Joachim Nygaard. You could keep going. Eero Pakarinen, Eero the hero, but with these players, they were all doing different things before they came to the Edmonton Oilers, before they came to the NHL. Most of them were guys who were succeeding and scoring overseas and not playing a grinder or muck-em-up type role for their team. Now you put them in the most difficult and best league in the world, and you go, okay, totally change your game. Now, the Edmonton Oilers are bringing in guys who know how to do that job. And you see it in Warren Fogel and Matthias Janmark just tonight. And then you see it in trades like Kleem Costin for a guy who played, what, 2 minutes and 38 seconds as an Edmonton Oiler? Kleem Costin came in and immediately became a city and folk hero here in Edmonton. And you can keep going. Derek Ryan, Devin Shore, who has had an absolute resurgence over the last couple of weeks. Ryan McLeod, who's going to be a fantastic Edmonton Oiler and a fantastic NHLer as well. And Nick Bjugstad, who's been a great addition for the Edmonton Oilers over the last six games. 3 points in the last six games, including an absolutely beautiful goal. Beautiful goal for him. And, you know, you love to see that type of output, but you love to see it because it makes the Edmonton Oilers win hockey games. Here's where the bottom six for the Edmonton Oilers, or this edition's Edmonton Oilers, really stands out. Here are the numbers for the bottom six for the Edmonton Oilers as of tonight. Warren Fogel this year, 12 goals, 10 assists, 22 points. Ryan McLeod, 11 goals, 11 assists, 22 points. Matthias Janmark, 8 goals, 13 assists, 21 points. Kleem Costin, 10 goals, 9 assists, 19 points. Derek Ryan, 12 goals, 5 assists, 17 points. And then Shore, 1 goal, 8 assists, 9 points. 6 of those points coming since he came back from the AHL. And Nick Bjugstad with 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points. He has 4 points in the last 6 games. There was, the Edmonton Oilers website also forgot about his first goal as an Edmonton Oiler. But that, you may have not necessarily noticed, but listen to one of the constants again. Fogel, 12 goals. McLeod, 11 goals. Costin, 10 goals. Ryan, 12 goals. Nick Bjugstad, as an Edmonton Oiler, has 2 goals, but has more goals than Jonathan Huberdeau has all year. That's your bottom six. Jonathan Huberdeau is on the first line of the Calgary Flames, and Nick Bjugstad has more goals. All of them have more than 10 goals, or at least 10 goals in Kleem Costin's case, so far this year. At least 10 goals. But it doesn't stop there. You know my favorite stat being the goals for and goals against per 60 minutes, and we take a look at what they're sitting at 5-on-5. At 5-on-5, goals for per 60 minutes for the Edmonton Oilers right now, their leader since March 1st, Kleem Costin at an 8.31. Fourth place, Nick Bjugstad. Fifth place, Devin Shore. Seventh place, Warren Fogel. And ninth, Derek Ryan. 5 of those bottom 6 players are in the top 10 when it comes to goals for per 60 minutes at 5-on-5 since March 1st. You know about the defensive numbers. You know that if you're a bottom 6 guy, especially a guy like Derek Ryan or Matthias Janmark, you're being brought in, Nick Bjugstad as well, you're being brought in to mostly suppress the opposition. You're being brought in to be a good player in your own end. But what the Edmonton Oilers also do, and especially in their bottom six, is they outwork the opposition. They outwork anybody on board battles. They beat people to the puck all the time. You sit there and you know whether or not the Edmonton Oilers are going to win a game by the way the third and fourth lines play for the Edmonton Oilers. You know what you're getting in Connor McDavid. You know what you're getting in Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Zach Hyman, Evander Kane. You know what you're getting out of those guys. But you don't always know what you're going to get from the Edmonton Oilers' bottom six. But since March 1st, and the reason why I bring in March 1st is because that was the day of the Matthias Ekholm deal. And then a couple days later on the Friday was the Bukestad deal. So now this is the team and the philosophy that the Edmonton Oilers have been running since then, and that the Edmonton Oilers are going to be running throughout the rest of the season into the Stanley Cup final. Wink, wink, nod, nod. But this is where the Oilers succeed, their bottom six. And right now, arguably, is there a better bottom six in the league right now? Right now, Warren Fogle sits one goal behind his NHL, his career high. There you go. That's the word I was looking for. He sits one goal behind his career high and matched his goal total from last year with tonight's game. Who else has been there? Derek Ryan is three goals away from his career high. Waz from Oilers Nation has to buy a Derek Ryan jersey if he also scores 16 goals. So, and that's the thing. The Oilers fans have really brought in and embraced the bottom six. I mean, look at Devin Score on Twitter. And shout out to the Edmonton Oilers today, who, if you don't know, I'm sure if you saw it on the broadcast tonight, Oilers Nation Germany is here in town. And last game, they brought out Leon Draisaitl after his game against the Senators. And tonight, they brought out Devin Shore. And they're really engaging with the fans and with the fact that Devin Shore is getting his roses almost is deserved. Derek Ryan is loved. Kleem Costin is a folk hero. I'm surprised there's not a mural of him on White Avenue yet. There are so many loved players by the Edmonton Oilers fans. That's been a different story for a very, very long time. So not only are the Edmonton Oilers bottom six embracing their roles, but the Edmonton Oilers fans are also embracing their roles. So the bottom six for the Edmonton Oilers, pretty good. Alrighty, let's wrap up today's episode with the good, the bad, and the ugly from tonight's game against the Dallas Stars. We will get to that in just a second. Alrighty, on to the good, the bad, and the ugly from tonight's game between the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars. Just before we get there, though, we do have an update from the Seattle Kraken game. The Seattle Kraken have won in overtime. They won 2-1 tonight, and they do get 1 point, or they are within 1 point of the Edmonton Oilers for that third spot in the Pacific Division. So, little update there. Big game on Saturday. But let's get to tonight's game. The good, the bad, and the ugly, starting off with the good. And that was the defensive effort from the entire Edmonton Oilers team. They limited the Dallas Stars to 5 shots in the first period. And yes, they had 26 shots against, or the Dallas Stars had 26 shots for, if you want to go that way. 25 saves for Stuart Skinner. But the reason why it was a quiet night for Stuart Skinner is that the Stars never really had any forceful or high danger situations other than the goal that they had from Wyatt Johnston. Stuart Skinner really shut it down for the Edmonton Oilers, but that was an effort from the back to the front. It was a fantastic game by the Edmonton Oilers in their own end, a very organized game. And that's fantastic considering the Dallas Stars are the best team. Well, they were one of. They're in the fight for the Western Conference. Best team in the Western Conference. That shows that the Edmonton Oilers can obviously not only swing around the big guys and show that they are one of, if not the best team in the Western Conference, but they can dominate that team. And yes, it was 4-1, but I think the scoreline was maybe a little more flattering. But that doesn't mean that the Edmonton Oilers didn't control the force of play, flow of play. Like, it was all Edmonton Oilers all the time, and it was fantastic to see a good team in Dallas. I'm not going to lie. I look across the West. Dallas Stars don't scare me. Minnesota Wild don't scare me. The Vegas Golden Knights don't scare me. They just lost 7-2 to the Calgary Flames tonight. What? The Los Angeles Kings certainly don't scare me. The Seattle Kraken don't scare me. The Winnipeg Jets don't scare me. The Calgary Flames don't scare me. And yes, color myself, I don't know, ignorant, but I'm not concerned about the Colorado Avalanche either. Sorry. There is no team in the Western Conference right now that I am concerned about for the Edmonton Oilers after seeing that defensive effort. Just absolutely no shot. So the good, the defensive effort for the Edmonton Oilers. The bad being Matias Janmark, baby. He's a bad man. 2 goals against his former team again tonight. 4 goals against his former team all season. Now tonight with 2 more tonight. 6 against all of his former team so far this year. Out of the 8 goals he has only this year. That is fantastic for Matias Janmark. And like he said, yeah, no, I was all right. Yeah, no kidding, buddy. You were all right. Matias Janmark, you weren't all right. You were bad. You were a bad man tonight. So the bad being Matias Janmark and the ugly. Little bit of a shift in tone, I guess. Jason Robertson's knee was ugly. And I hated it. Did I think it was intentional? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Connor McDavid getting past a guy who is relatively flat-footed. That's going to happen. He's trying to make a shift to catch up to the best player in the world. My problem is this is happening over and over and over again. This isn't the first time that Connor McDavid has gone knee-on-knee with an opponent this year. It's not even the first time in the last, 10 games. That this has happened to Connor McDavid when he goes knee on knee with an opposition player. But what's wrong with me about that, or what doesn't sit right with me when it comes to that whole situation, is Connor McDavid is the best player in the league. And you can take off your Oilers hat right now. We can even go to the NBA or the NFL or the MLB. Take your pick. Let's go to the MLB. Let's talk about the Los Angeles Angels and Mike Trout and how often he gets injured. And then all of a sudden, the Angels, or nobody wants to watch the Angels. The Angels also have Shohei Ohtani, and then nobody's watching them, but they're the best team, best players in the league. And yes, his injuries aren't happening. Mike Trout's injuries aren't happening because the opposition pitcher is pitching at him or throwing at him. But what I'm saying here is that they become irrelevant when the star players aren't on the field. Nobody watches the Los Angeles Angels when Renhifo is hitting leadoff. Nobody cares. You need to protect your players as the NHL. You need to protect your players in general, but you need to protect your stars. And the fact that this keeps happening to Connor McDavid over and over and over again, especially considering that he's already, he didn't have reconstructive surgery, as we all know, but a major, major, major knee injury. If he is one knee injury away from Bobby Orring this night. You need to prevent that as a league. You need to outlaw in some way. Not outlaw, but you're sitting here at your GM meetings going, if they fight in for a clean hit, they're going to get an extra penalty. Well, why don't you worry about your players who can potentially drop like flies? Don't give me this crap. How about you worry about the players who are actually injuring those players or maybe throwing those hits? And go, oh, well, maybe it was legal. So what? Let them fight. Now you're sitting here and you won't even protect your star players, and then once you aren't allowed to police the game as the ref, and you won't allow the... You just look at the whole situation in Minnesota with Marc-Andre and Jordan Binnington. I know this kind of sounds like a all over the place kind of tangent, but this is just wrong on so many levels that the NHL keeps letting Connor McDavid go knee on knee, and they protect the guy who did it. Alex Edler was protected like Mahatma Gandhi or something like that. Like, he didn't just almost take out the best player in the league and protected him as they shielded him to the box. Actually, I don't even think he got a penalty on that. It's sad. It makes the league nearly unwatchable. And once a star player does go down because of an idiotic injury, it will be unwatchable. And you'll sit there and go, I wonder why the league can't grow. Either way, if you made it this far, the good, the bad, and the ugly from tonight's game against the Dallas Stars, the good being the defensive effort, only allowing 5 shots in the first period, and Stuart Skinner making 25 saves on 26 fired his way. The bad being Matthias Janmark, baby, a bad, bad man with 2 more goals tonight, bringing his total to 8-6. Against all of his former teams this season, and the ugly being Jason Robertson's kneeing penalty. Alrighty, let's wrap up today's episode. The Edmonton Oilers win a big one tonight against the Dallas Stars, and they head off to Seattle for a 2 p.m. matinee puck drop at the Climate Pledge Arena. A little late news coming in as Ryan McLeod will not make the trip to Seattle for the Edmonton Oilers. He is considered day to day. Anyways, we shall see you another day, as we will not have an episode tomorrow, but we will be back on Monday. I will make it up to you, I promise. Either way, let's wrap up today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us. And after tonight's win, hopefully you can all play La Bamba, baby.